indictment. Let's turn in the word of the living God to Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 8. Let's hear the word of the matchless triune God. Ezekiel 33 verse 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn him, to warn the wicked from his way, then that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. This is the word of God. Last night, we watched the unplanned film, a powerful film on the testimony of Abby Johnson, the youngest director of a Planned Parenthood clinic, an abortion clinic, abortuary, who actually received Employee of the Year award from Planned Parenthood. Abby's conversion from abortion director to pro-life activist is inspiring. Abby's story, the unplanned book, and the dramatic film Unplanned are a stinging indictment on all too many churches. According to movieguide.org, in their review, Abby comes from a very Christian family who are very pro-life, quote unquote, a very Christian family who are very pro-life. Yet she was recruited by a Planned Parenthood representative at a volunteer fair at a university. And despite identifying herself as being from a pro-life family and against abortion, she allows herself to be talked into volunteering to escort women into Planned Parenthood abortuary, and then progressively further and deeper into the organization, counseling women for abortions, promoting abortions, selling abortions, and finally into director of the Planned Parenthood abortuary clinic in Bryan, Texas. In Romans 2, verse 24, we read, "For the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles because of you." Abby reports that when she worked at Planned Parenthood, it was pretty common for women to be lying on the abortion table holding a rosary. Now, for those who don't know that, Roman Catholics pray through the rosary. It's a lot of beads, and it's got a crucifix on it, and they will pray through these beads, 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father, and so on. And it's symbolic of their faith and of their prayer life. Roman Catholics are meant to be seriously pro-life and anti-abortion. And she said it was common to have women praying during the abortion, holding the rosary on the clinic table. Can you imagine it? She reports how members of Planned Parenthood staff talked to her about how they were convinced they were doing God's work. At one point, Abby even told her husband she's praying that God will only allow her to get the job as director of the Planned Parenthood clinic if it was his will. To which her husband responds, "But haven't you applied for the job?" And when Abby responds, "Yes," he says, "So you're asking God to intervene in a process you have set in motion." Do not be deceived, we read in Galatians 6, verse 7. Whatever man sows, that shall he reap. God is not mocked. Shockingly, when Abby finally left Planned Parenthood and became pro-life, members of the vestry and the minister of the Episcopalian church that she belonged to came to her and asked her to leave the church and not come back. So this Episcopalian church had no problem having the director of the abortion clinic being a member of the church, but the moment she became pro-life activist, you've got to leave. You would have thought it would be the other way around, but so apostates are so many abominations today. What does this tell you about the state of all too many churches today? Proverbs 24 verse 11, we read, "Deliver those being led away to death, hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? Does not he who keeps your soul know it? Will he not minister and render to each man according to his deeds?" This is actually a threat. God, he says, I control your life. I determine whether you live and die and when you die. If you say, I didn't see this and I didn't know, he who guards your life knows it. Will he not render to you according to your deeds? This is actually a threat by Almighty God. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew 23 verse 13 says, "But woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up heaven. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor will you allow those who are entering to go in." And so we have those who excommunicate members of their congregation for becoming a pro-life activist, but tolerate people who are not only abortionists, but are those who promote abortion. Did you notice in the film last night that when Tiller the killer, the abortionist, was shot dead, he is shot dead in the Lutheran church that he was an usher in. He served in this church and he is shot dead in the church, this abortionist. He is a member of the church. He is a leader in the church. And he is one of only three late-term abortionists. In other words, he'd do in the third trimester abortions. And there are churches that apparently had no problem with that. When Sean Carney, director of the 40 Days for Life campaign, commented to Abby that they often wondered if their praying outside the fence had any impact and achieved anything at all, Abby Johnson reported, "It's well known within Planned Parenthood that when pro-lifers are praying on a sidewalk outside the clinic, no shows soar to 75%. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing." Proverbs 31 verse 8 says, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves." Praise God for those who are faithful in pro-life prayer vigils, sidewalk counseling, life chains, marches for life, placard protests, 40 days for life initiatives, crisis pregnancy centers, adoptions, and so many other vital aspects of pro-life and abolitionist ministries. Hebrews 6 verse 10 to 11 is appropriate for them. "God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of love which you have shown toward in his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence to the end for the full assurance of hope." That's Hebrews 6, 10 to 11. However, while we praise God for those in pro-life ministries, prevention is so much better than cure. If only Abby's family and church had adequately prepared her to see through the lies of Planned Parenthood, to understand the times, to know what God's people should do in this wicked, defiled, and apostate age. Imagine how much better it would have been if sometime in each calendar year, every Christian congregation invited a pro-life speaker to deal with the pro-life issues and how to address the hard cases and the common objections, to ensure that what the Bible teaches and when life begins and what is our duty to rescue those being led away to death, hold back those staggering towards slaughter, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, love your neighbor, even your unborn neighbor, do to others as you'd want to be done unto. Imagine if Sunday schools and youth groups were diligent in educating and discipling the young people so that they would recognize the lies and the traps and the temptations of the Planned Parenthood abortion industry. Ezekiel 3 verse 2 to 10 says, "Woe to you shepherds, the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor have you bound up those who are broken, nor have you brought back those who were driven away, nor have you sought that which was lost, so they are scattered. My flock became a prey, a target. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, shepherds. I will require my flock at your hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds will feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that there may no longer be food for these false shepherds." Sober words of judgment from God in Ezekiel chapter 3. It is bad enough when the pagans kill their children. That's bad enough. It's a completely outrageous scandal that so many millions of Christians have had abortions. Abby Johnson came from a very pro-life, very Christian family, and she had two abortions, and she's not an exception. When I was studying at Baptist Theological College, now Baptist Theological Seminary, I came to know one particular young married couple, the husband of whom was studying at the college, and at their home one night, on a Saturday night, I was with them for supper, it came out that she'd had an abortion. Now, of course, in the 1970s, abortion was totally illegal. But what had happened is her father was high up in the Baptist church. Her fiancé was the youth leader and was heading towards a career in ministry. Her brother was super high up in the denomination, soared to the very heights of the denominational leadership later. And so her father sent her to England to have an abortion. And she said, as her father prayed at the airport, Jan Smuts Airport, for journeying mercies, as he sent her to kill his grandchild. And you wonder why God's judgment lies over many of our churches. She said something died within her when her father prayed for God's blessings on this mission of murder. To say that there's criminal complicity and cowardice within the Christian church on the subject of abortion would be a gross understatement. You can speak to Rolf. Rolf can give you a few more examples of the abject apostasy of churches in Cape Town who persecute and prosecute their members and citizens for taking pro-life stands. You can just think of somebody like Peter Thropp, who was prosecuted by Christians in the municipality of Cape Town for putting pro-life stickers over illegal abortion adverts on lampposts and so on. They couldn't prosecute the abortionist whose cell numbers were on the adverts, but they found the man who had put a sticker over illegal abortions ads and prosecuted him. But there's a lot more we can say than that. Psalm 106, verse 37. They even sacrificed their own sons and daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with blood. They were thus defiled by their own works, and they played the harlot. Harlot is the word for prostitute. They played the harlot by their deeds. Therefore, the wrath of God was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them over to the hands of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. You want to know why those who hate us rule over us? Compromise, cowardice, and apostasy has brought the wrath of God upon his own people. He gave them over to the Gentiles so that those who hated them ruled over them. The enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. That's Psalm 106, verse 37 to 42. It's bad enough that there are apostate denominations, or abominations, shall we say, like the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church of the United States of America, the United Methodist Church, whose so-called ministers conduct prayer services at Planned Parenthood abortion facilities, praying for protection from pro-life activists and protesters while serving the community. We could show you pictures of Methodist ministers wearing Thank God for Abortion t-shirts, having their members come to scatter rose petals around abortion clinics, praying for protection on the people who are providing a service to the community. They do it. There are so-called Christians who pray for God's blessings on all who come to this facility for reproductive health services. You can go to Mary Stopes Abortuary. I don't know what it's like now, but a few years ago, down at Bree Street, I saw a big pull-up banner, sort of like these sort of pull-up banners, with a picture of arch-heretic Desmond Tutu wearing his bishop's regalia. God bless Mary Stopes. Of course, we also heard the abomination president of America, Barack Hussein Obama, saying, thank God for Planned Parenthood, who kills hundreds of thousands of babies every year in America alone. Interesting, Obama legalized American funding of foreign abortions. George Bush Jr., the first thing he did when he came into president's office in 2001, he banned foreign funding of abortion. So George Bush cut hundreds of millions of US dollars taxpayers' money going to Planned Parenthood, Mary Stopes, and other abortion clinics. He saved lives. In the first week, the first legislation signed by Barack Obama was to rescind that and give back hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood to kill babies throughout Africa and Asia. Interesting enough, one of the first things Trump did was rescind that again so that America defunded. Next thing, Planned Parenthood's CEO, Natasha Richardson, absolutely weeping over the loss of funding that they've got from American taxpayers because of Donald Trump, that they're no longer able to kill so many black babies in Africa. I mean, how bad is that? And so we've got these Christians out there who the Bible speaks about. Proverbs 17, verse 15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. Then there are abortionists, not only members of so-called churches, but even deacons and elders. Like George Tiller from Wichita, Texas, Wichita, Kansas, who gained national attention as the medical director of Women's Healthcare Services. Don't you love these, what do you call them? These nice words that they use, these euphemisms. Instead of baby killing center, they're called a Women's Healthcare Service. One of only three clinics in the whole of the United States that provided late-term abortions, meaning third-term, effectively virtual infanticide of viable babies born and killed after birth. Sort of like what Gosnell was doing. How many here would have seen the film Gosnell? Very few. We need to have people see that too. That's, again, on a real-life case of an abortionist who actually was prosecuted. Tiller served as an usher during Sunday morning worship service, the Reformation Lutheran Church. Think of the name, the Reformation Lutheran Church in Wichita, and he was assassinated as a church. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 17, there are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven on abomination to him. Hands that shed innocent blood. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. They are an abomination to him. In the United States of America, religious abominations which support abortion include the United Church of Christ, the Unitarian Universalist Association, the Metropolitan Community Church, which is the gay, GB, pink agenda, homosexual, Sodom church, should be called the First Church of Sodom, but they call themselves Metropolitan Community Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and the United Methodist Church. Now, these are just some of them. Now, in our country, we've got denominations who also are pretty pro-abortion. And that includes the Anglican Church, CPSA, and Bishop Tutu's denomination, and the Methodist Church have come straight out in this country as supporting abortion. Jeremiah 23, verse 11 to 15, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I found wickedness. They've caused my people, Israel, to err. They also strengthened the hands of evildoers so that no one turns away from his wickedness. Profaneness has gone out into the land. When you see wickedness increase, you've got to recognize it's not just the wickedness of the wicked, it's the failure of the righteous. All that's necessary for evil triumph is for good people to do nothing. They strengthened the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his wickedness. Like arch-heretic Desmond Tutu saying, God bless Mary Stopes. And that they can have at the entrance to their abortuary, the gates of hell, they can have the blessing of an arch-heretic. Shocking though these examples of apostasy may be, what can we say about Bible-based churches, evangelicals and Pentecostals who are so silent on the issue and so derelict in adequately preparing their members to understand the issues? Ignoring the world war of worldviews, ignorant of the battle for the heart, passive in the battle for the mind, forgetting the battle for the family, fleeing from the fight for life, that some of their own members not only seek abortions during a crisis pregnancy, but actually work for Planned Parenthood or Mary Stopes abortion clinics. And I know, and Rolf can tell you, we've spoken to people, nurses at Mary Stopes Abortuary, who, I'm a church member. Can you even imagine that we have members of our churches who are not just having abortions, but performing abortions and selling abortions? Just like Abby Johnson, a church-going person from a pro-life, pro-family background. This is why you need biblical worldview summits. This is why we need to train our congregations in all these issues. That's why the literature out there needs to be distributed widely. We cannot continue to have Christians who might have a Christian heart, but they've got a secular humanist mind, brainwashed by the world, brainwashed by the media, so they stampeded, tricked, and trapped, and tempted into actually being servants of Satan, as Abby Johnson was for 8 years. Isaiah 56, verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're like dumb dogs who cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And commenting on this verse, reformer John Calvin said, a minister who fails to preach against sin is as useless as a barkless dog. A dog who cannot even bark to warn you of danger to come. They're worth less than a barkless dog. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to do to others as we want God to do unto us. We're to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. We're to rescue the perishing. How can we walk by on the other side of the road like the Pharisee and the Levite while a person is lying bleeding in a gutter? The message of the Good Samaritan is go and do likewise. We cannot walk by on the other side of the road. We have to get involved. We have to do something. Inactivity, passivity, and neutrality are an abomination to God. We need to get into the fight. We need to make a difference. It's a wonderful testimony. Abby Johnson got converted after 8 years in Planned Parenthood. But what a disgrace that she even was in there in the first place. Her family, her husband, her church were all pro-life, but they by sentiment knew, but they didn't know how to articulate or how to persuade or how to bring the facts to bear. Obviously, if they had shown her the Silent Scream film, which Bernard Nathanson, the pioneer of abortion in America, who, as an abortionist, performed tens of thousands of abortions. When Bernard Nathanson was converted, he brought out the Silent Scream and showed from ultrasound what you saw last night. The baby screaming in the womb, trying to escape from the forceps and everything else. And he showed that. Now, if the parents, who were lovely pro-life people praying for, but they didn't know enough to know why they believed it and how to defend an argument and how to persuade their own daughter not to be part of an abortion industry that's killing millions of babies and bringing the wrath of God upon a society. Land is polluted by unjust blood, by the shedding of innocent blood. And so we need to be like those who go and do likewise. But if they had stood in my counsel, Jeremiah says, if they'd caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned away from the evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Jeremiah 23, verse 22. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 5, 11. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will make a stand for me against the workers of iniquity? Psalm 94, verse 16. God is asking, who will rise up? Who will stand up for me? Who will speak out? And the average Christian's answer is, here am I, Lord, send my sister. The first time I attended a pro-choice meeting, it was in the Rondebosch United Congregational Church. Dr. Marge Dyer, who my mother, who was involved in gynecology her whole life, called Dr. Death. Dr. Marge Dyer of the Abortion Rights Action Group was aggressively promoting abortion, which in South Africa was illegal. Now, my wife Lenora was pregnant at that time with Andrea, our firstborn. And so there we were And so it was becoming very real for us suddenly. Here we've got a child of our own. Not some product of conception, some blob of tissue that might one day become a human being. It's a baby. The moment of conception. We knew that. And we already loved her. And then we heard, not any Marjorie, but one of her supporters speaking up from the audience. One woman stood up and said, when I was 21, I got pregnant and I wanted to have an abortion. But the laws of this country prevented me from having an abortion. And now my daughter, and she turned to her daughter sitting next to her, who's 20 years old. She says, and so my daughter is here with me. She says, there's not a day that goes by that I don't regret that I didn't abort her. And the daughter sitting there is nodding her head in agreement. When I first read Isaiah 49, verse 15, I thought it was speaking hypothetically. You remember the verse? Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? And I thought that was a hypothetical. Well, of course not. But it carries on. It says, surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you, says the Lord. Can a mother forget her nursing child? And the answer is yes, she can. Many do. Millions every year choose to kill their own child for whatever different reasons. Often because the so-called males are absent, fleeing, unwilling to take responsibility and so on. Nevertheless, the Lord says, they may forget, but I will not forget you. Now, the same week that my daughter Andrea was born, February 1991, Africa Christian Action was born. So ACA, which banners over there, was born the same month, actually the same week that my daughter Andrea was born. We launched Africa Christian Action and started playing the first pro-life actions. And since then, we have been coordinating life chains. In fact, Andrea attended the very first life chain we had in a backpack on my shoulders, distributing literature to the cars in Main Road, Newlands, from the very first. And I think Andrea's been to just about every life chain since then, unless she was not in the country. We've planned the life chains, we've planned the marches to Parliament, the submissions to Parliament, and I must have organized at least 100 pro-life protests, outreaches, marches at minimum, and on at least 1,000 occasions spoken on radio, churches and so on the pro-life issue. But of far greater importance than our pro-life ministry is the biblical worldview training prevention ministry, to get people to understand the times and know what they're to know what they believe, why they believe it, how to defend an argument, how to bring others to Christ. Because what is better? Having someone from a strongly Christian, strongly pro-life family converted after 8 years in the abortion industry, or that they never go into it. And at that volunteer fair at the university, that she could have maybe persuaded the Planned Parenthood recruiter to be pro-life. But unfortunately, we're losing the battle. Statistically, children from a Christian home, church-going children, within 3 years in university, in the secular humanist indoctrination gulags, 75% of church-going youth have abandoned the faith. 75%. This is an indictment on the Christian families, the churches, for failing to prepare the young people. The youth ministries, most youth ministries are all about entertainment and silliness. They're not dealing with the issues. They're not renewing the minds. They're not transforming. At one point, when our boys reached, we had no problem with our girls because Girl Guides was on a different day of the week than Friday. But when our boys came along, and the youth group's on Friday, but Scouts is also on Friday. Cubs and then Scouts. And so I was sort of wrestling with this. Do I let my children go to the Cubs or to youth group? And one Christian homeschooler, Alison Shortridge, said to me, if you're wondering which to choose, let me tell you, choose the Cubs. It's going to be a lot more good for your youngsters than going to church youth. The average youth group is negative. It actually doesn't help. It causes more grief. It makes them more worldly, sets them up for backsliding. Now, if you know of good youth groups, praise God. I'm not saying they're all bad, but the vast majority are worthless, less than worthless, actually bad. And sure enough, I found, despite problems in the Cubs and Scouts at least taught some useful skills, a lot more worthwhile than the worthless average church youth group. When I was converted, our youth groups were about Bible studies and outreaches and so on. But youth groups have all become about sloppy, soft, stupid, really stupid, dumb, and worldly activities. Now, let me just give a challenge. When I first went to Sudan, I asked the people there who the youth leaders are, and they brought the youth leaders, and I said, what does your youth group do? So the Sudanese church youth leaders say, we divide up our youth into different teams, and one week, this team goes and helps cultivate the vegetable gardens and so on of the old people, fix their roofs, clean their houses, do the shopping for the old people and so on. This one cleans and sorts out the church, fixes the roof and so on. And this one is, they all had community projects. So there's nothing about going to the mall for a milkshake and that sort of thing. It was all about serving the community. And I thought, wow, those kind of youth groups we could use. But the frivolous rubbish that's going on, the fact that someone like Abby Johnson went through all the youth groups, didn't prepare her or prevent her from falling for the lies of Planned Parenthood. And so another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor the work that he had done, we read in Judges 2 verse 10. It's so important for us to warn people. Praise God for films like Unplanned. Praise God for films like Gosnell, other pro-life films shown at schools, churches, youth groups, medical universities. But far more important than this are biblical worldview seminars, biblical worldview weekends, summits that people can understand the times, know what the Bible says about all areas of life. Every one of God's Ten Commands are under attack. So I think it's good to just read the Ten Commands on a Sunday morning service. Unbelievable how the average Christian doesn't even know the Ten Commands. Oh, it's worse than that. In England, the average Anglican minister could not identify more than four of the Ten Commands, even out of order. Ministers, it's bad. And the Great Commission is the great omission in many cases. So every Christian doctrine is being undermined. Every family is facing unprecedented pressures. There's a war against the womb. There's a war against the family. There's a war against marriage. There's a battle for the hearts and minds of the family and of the children themselves. And the family is a basic building block of society. As goes your family, so goes the nation. The philosophy of the classroom in this generation is the philosophy of government in the next generation. Classrooms have now become battlegrounds. Parents must ensure that their children are brought up in a fear of God and the knowledge of the scriptures, thoroughly discipled in the faith and in worldviews, and understanding not our only our worldview, but understanding the worldviews of the secular humanists, the cosmic humanists, the Marxists, and Muslims, and others. And cinemas are a major battleground. Praise God for Christian filmmakers like the Kendrick brothers, and in South Africa, Franz Grenier. We need more of them. Praise God for Kerry Solomon and Chuck Konzelman, who directed the Unplanned film. We need Christians who will be involved in a cultural war producing good Christian films. We need Christian filmmakers. We need Christian radio presenters, editors of community newspapers and magazines, Sunday school teachers, pastors, youth leaders, missionaries and evangelists. We all have a vital part to play in this cultural war. And this includes discipleship. To ensure that Christians are not as gullible and naive as Abby Johnson testified she was when she entered Planned Parenthood. It's a stunning indictment on all too many of our churches that the subjects of morality and ethics seldom receive sufficient attention even in the Sunday school classroom or in an average Sunday sermon. God's word says, 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word, insist on proclaiming it, whether the time is right or not, in season or out of season. If an army was to lose 75% of its men, it would not be a defeat, it would be a disaster, a catastrophe. And the church is losing 75% of its young people within 3 years of university. So it's so important that we have ministries like Answers in Genesis, Focus on the Family, Way of the Master, other cutting-edge ministries which are preparing young people, which is why we've been organizing Biblical Worldview seminars since 1991 and Biblical Worldview summits since 97. Know what you believe, know why you believe it, know how to defend an argument, know how to win others to Christ, which will be our workshop after tea time. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 verse 31 is a good verse to bear in mind during PT. We need to get guest speakers into our churches and schools. Traffic proof, fight the new drug, other pro-life presentations in school assemblies. Wherever we are invited, we go and we give presentations at schools. Secular schools, Christian schools, all of that can help. But the vast majority of schools will not invite pro-life, pro-family guest speakers to address the school assembly. So how can we reach them? Well, there's a whole lot of literature and videos outside in the lecture tables. There's good materials on the lecture note table on the side there. You can come to the Literature for Africa stores, get on our mailing list. We've got three different mailing lists at the lecture table that you can sign up for if you're not on. Frontline News, Christian Action Magazine, and for the Reformation Society letter, which is very much local, what's going on in Cape Town area as far as actions we can get involved in. We need to equip and empower. We need to encourage and enlist. We need to motivate and mobilize. We must inform people. We must inspire people. But most importantly, we must involve people in making a difference, fulfilling the Great Commission. Our mission is averaging 1,400 meetings a year. But we need to recognize that that's only reaching a fraction of the people of our country and continent. So we must use modern technology, which is why we have IT and why it's so important to have a comms office using internet technology. And we're producing videos, we're producing films, podcasts, weekly programs like Salt and Light Radio on Radio Tigerberg, Firm Foundation series, the From the Frontline podcasts each week, Christian Perspective and News. I speak at every Friday morning on at 7:30 on Radio Cape Pulpit. And with ministry around the country, I average 450 meetings a year, of which 200 would be radio engagements on an average given year. But far more needs to be done. Every one of us should be involved in this fight. Every one of us needs to be involved in countering the vast amounts of disinformation and distractions and distortions and defiling, degrading, destroying entire generations of material coming out of Hollywood and SATV and out of the education departments. The situation is desperate. The need is urgent. Every Christian needs to recognize we're involved in a world war of worldviews. The cultural clash is more serious than all the other wars combined. More people are dying in this world war of worldviews now than died in the First and Second World War combined. And that just affected physical lives. This is affecting eternity. This battle that we're involved in is a bigger battle than World War II. The lives and eternal destinies of literally billions of people and future generations yet unborn are at stake. My people are being destroyed from lack of knowledge. And so, what are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission? Can you not do something more for God? Be informed, be interceding, be involved. May God make us more bold and brave for Him. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to thank You and praise You for Your love and for Your mercy and for Your grace and for all the good things You give us. We pray, Lord God, that You'd help us to be more faithful to You, to be more effective in Your service. We pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We have upcoming on the 30th of January the March for Life to Parliament. If you can join us, do. This is this year's March for Life. 2nd of February, we're trying to promote a Sanctity Life Sunday to speak up for the preborn. And the first Sunday of every October is International Life Change Sunday. Up to a million Christians in hundreds of locations around the world, over 1,000 locations worldwide, take part in life change. Let us stand, let us sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Romans 6 verse 19 declares, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness.